boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John Lobster. Hey, you guys know who built the Apollo spacecraft? Went to the moon?
Nerds.
Yeah. Yo mama. We're back in the bathroom of the cinematic calendar, the month of January, and this year we're hitting the bargain bins to dig up some turds from the comic book movie genre. Grab some TP and goggles up, because this shit is not pretty. This is Canuary. After his low-budget superpower flick Chronicle impressed audiences and, more importantly, the brass at 20th Century Fox, director Josh Trank became the latest patsy, or steward, to lead the Fantastic Four film franchise. Contractually obligated to keep making movies to hang on to the film rights, Fox needed to put together another installment in the franchise with a 2-1 record of actually being released in theaters. Trank recruited a young, talented cast to build his house on, and immediately trashed said house and a certain rental property.
That was his
and
dogs.
Set everything on fire, and not in the cool Human Torch way. Sidelined during reshoots and locked out of the editing bay, Trank doubled down and threw the studio under the bus in a tweet blaming Fox for ruining the movie, and also lost his gig directing a planned Star Wars movie in the process. Of course, Fanforstick, as advertising styled it, bombed at the box office, and reviewers quickly named it the worst comic book movie in recent memory. Now, Beef, Wing, and Lobster are sitting down to watch the movie all for the first time as we wrap up January 2019.
I know we're not there yet, but this is, for me, is going to go in somewhere in the forgettable territory because I've seen that.
And you said you never saw it.
After like 20, 25 minutes, I'm like,
I saw
oh
this
God,
movie.
I've seen that before. I thought that was a mix of this and one of the other Tim story. I was pretty sure it was like, so I was like, no, okay, fuck.
Didn't he learn anything from the Arnold Schwarzenegger school of, even if it's the movie Junior, you say, this is the best film ever?
You just like, have to plug it, man. Dance with the one who brung you. You gotta...
Rumors of him and his pile of little dogs demolishing houses in New Orleans, and he supposedly was like locking himself in there.
When the owner got pissed, he like trashed the house more. So
yeah, classic.
Yeah. Also, he hired Miles Teller, famous dick, and then proceeded not to get along with him, and like they fought all the time.
Who?
And he cast Michael B. Jordan, who was awesome in Chronicle and like criminally underused him here.
Yeah,
he cast a bunch of people from House of Cards and also criminally underused them. And a great mocap artist. We love Toby Keppel when he was in Warcraft, but what the hell was he here? And oh, Jamie Bell, an awesome actor who, oh nope, he's not really even in the movie.
Wait, okay, time out.
Yeah,
What was Jamie Bell in other than this? The guy who played Grimm, the adult Grimm.
Billy Elliot and a ton of other stuff. I know him best as Abe Woodhull from Turn, which is an awesome TV show about Revolutionary War spies.
I'll show my hand quick, Wing. You did. I didn't hate
this. I'll show my hand even faster. It sucked.
I didn't hate this as much as I thought I would for all the people complaining about it and talking about how bad of the production schedule and this and that. Yeah, it was convoluted. Yeah, it was written by 87 different people, but it somewhat kept my attention.
When did the movie start for you? Yeah. When did the movie actually begin?
Wait, before we get there, I'm going to get into my weird things. This is not as bad as everybody's talking about.
Okay, so we agree there.
If you ask me, Green Lantern and Catwoman are worse than this.
Yes, by far.
By far.
What about you, Lobster? Yes, no?
Okay, so obviously we are comparing shit to shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You should all not watch these.
Some has nuts in it, some doesn't.
Right. So my problem with this is nothing makes sense. Nothing.
They do it for a. They go there for a drunken experiment.
Nothing is interesting. There are never stakes, and I don't like anyone. There, like, this movie does no puts no effort whatsoever into A, making these characters characters and not stereotypes.
Right.
It does nothing to make the characters recognizable in any way to a beloved comic book property.
What do you mean by recognizable? Like their actions or...
There is nothing in the character archetypes of these characters that matches... Remember, this is a movie based on the Fantastic Four. It is called Fantastic Four. It is not called four assholes who get superpowers. That was Chronicle.
It'd be four assholes plus a chick, right?
Yes, plus because the bystander. She doesn't actually qualify as a member of the team enough to actually go on the thing.
Well, so, she just wasn't there being a drunk. Girl, yeah. She wasn't there being part of the drunk boys club.
Nope, didn't count. Do you know why her power is invisibility?
Because she was
fucking invisible. They didn't even see her. She wasn't there. So aside from that, this movie never starts. Like, it always is on the cusp of being like into the third act where things get interesting. There's fucking montages for Christ's sake.
Okay, to that whole point, in the beginning I'm like, wow, young stretchy guy and Grimm they have a good story. They got a good friendship story going along. And then it's like
7 years later.
And then it's like 7-8 years later, and I'm like, okay. And then it's all these little montages.
1 year later.
Right, where they meet people and this and that, and she's gotta hold her breath even though she's got a bubble the size of a bathroom around her and you could breathe in there. And it's like, but you're right. At about the hour and 5 minute mark, I was like, when is this movie gonna, isn't there only a half hour left? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we gotta add Dr. Doom into this movie somewhere. Yes. So we might as well get to that.
Well, you can see where the movie derailed, because I would say that the first 25 minutes of this movie is solid. Not just okay.
I'd say
that.
First
25 minute is solid.
I think it would have been solid if it was, we didn't need them as little kids. That didn't actually need to happen.
I don't agree. I love these scenes. I think that's the thing that works the best in there.
Yeah, because I didn't mind a couple minutes between the nerd and the guy who's not necessarily a nerd and their I don't know, relationship.
Let me understand why the nerd ends up having a relationship with a jock.
Right, the junkyard
the
guy.
The jock isn't even... he's taller than the jock. The jock never actually becomes a jock. What does Ben Grimm bring to the team?
The junkyard, the very first power converter.
He was cool because his family owned a junkyard, and also his brother beat up on him and hit him and said, it's clobbering time, and that became his catchphrase.
The only thing is that be like... you or I get some science degree and we fund the first Batman type person and we call Wing and we
call the person in our yearbook who is named most likely to own a junkyard.
No. It's I get your cynicalness, but it's more than that. They actually had a friendship and shit like that.
Come with me to this thing that will probably kill you, because we're so drunk and irresponsible. That would be a great idea.
Fuck yeah. Haven't you ever been 19?
But hold on. Even if that's the case, the fact that Captain Grimm wakes up in the middle of the night and goes, yeah, I'll drive an hour, and then the fact that they're all still drunk enough to do it in an hour or half hour. I don't know. That part definitely faltered for me, because then it's like, let's get all the drunk idiots in here, and we wouldn't have made it back unless Invisible Girl happened to go.
And the government agency that has invested billions of dollars in this has lax security to the point where four drunk idiots can steal their space machine, whatever.
Yeah, but most movies at this point, this is a conceit you need to give him.
A better movie would have been they stayed in the fucking junkyard and, like, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs built this thing in their garage.
They would have been fighting.
And then did the thing that they were going to do.
It irritates me that out of all these recognizable people in the Fantastic Four or this team, that you take the most... noticeable of them being Kate Mara or Michael B. Jordan, and you make one of them fucking invisible. I get it. That's what Sue Storm, I believe, does. She's invisible.
She does.
Right. I get that. But, and then you take the other most recognizable one in Michael B. Jordan, and you make him be a flaming, like you can't even tell that it's him.
Okay. But for what it's worth, this is the best Human Torch that's ever been done on film.
I don't remember the other ones.
I will argue that this Human Torch looks the best of...
Well, you're talking 10 years later, right?
Right.
I'm going to argue that, yes, that's the best one that we've got, and it should have been a way bigger step since the last one, because this movie... Okay, we disagree on the first couple of minutes of this movie. We all agree that a first act that's 52 minutes.
Right.
I timed it. When the act changed, I was like, wait a second, 52 minutes? I think there was just half an hour... Yes, there's only half an hour left.
Is the Human Torch that much of a prick always?
Yes.
The movie is 60% done.
Yeah, I was
when
like,
you get past your let's introduce everyone. I mean, when does he actually show up in the film? It's not for another like half hour.
Reed?
Or no, Michael B. Jordan, Human Torch.
Yeah, he doesn't Johnny show Storm. Up for another half hour, which
and
is a character you want to see basically.
Completely
and then you
out
get into the Hulk with
Yeah, as soon
Reed
as
Richard?
He said, as soon as he said it's clobbering time, I was like, Hulk smash. I get it. That's his catchphrase, but it seems so forced.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's not the Hulk part I'm talking about. I'm talking about Reed
the
Richard
that, the fact
going
that Tim Blake,
to Brazil.
Tim Blake Nelson was actually in The Incredible Hulk.
No, well, yeah, there's that too. Poor guy. He was supposed to be Moldman in there, and they dubbed his line to change his name because
Ballad
they were like...
Buster Scruggs.
Wait a minute.
Oh,
so
no.
He went to Brazil to go find... Oh, yeah, he did.
You know, he goes to Brazil for a little time? For me, I was like, I'm watching The Incredible Hulk again.
Okay, and I have a question. Reed Richards, right, that's his name, stretchy dude?
Yes, Mr. Fantastic.
Sorry. He's all stretched out, and he hears his buddy Grimm yelling, so he gets the strength to control himself and then runs away.
And then it through the vents.
Right, yeah, but then he, like, when he's away for that year, he crafts some suit to contain his stretchiness, yet as soon as the suit breaks, he's...
Stretch Armstrong. Well, you know Stretch Armstrong breaks, and then the stuff leaks
out.
Yeah,
but, like, you figure you've had a year to work on this every time you're by yourself.
And also, you're supposed to be really, really smart. That's
right.
His thing, Mr. Fantastic. That's, like, the thing is, he's really smart.
That's like Batman. He just happened to get stretchy. He could figure it all out with his mind, but...
Yeah, but the great thing that they brought to this version of this Fantastic Four, which I would have loved them to develop way more, is the body armor part. I mean, it doesn't look fun to get these powers.
No.
I mean, the Thing, Mr. Fantastic, all that
all
that shit.
But hold on.
That's interesting.
Does that belong in a movie? Does that belong in a Fantastic Four movie?
In 2018, 2019,
Knowing what the Fantastic Four represents in comic books.
I don't mind it, even though it may be out of place. We've gotten to so like real Cordy Fingers,
I mean,
DC.
Don't you think that this is why we haven't seen anything from New Mutants yet? That maybe doing a horror movie with superhero characters isn't going to play?
No, that's not the reason why we haven't heard anything about New Mutant, but...
The fact that Simon Kinberg also worked on this movie?
Simon Kinberg should not touch a DC universe whatsoever. But at this point in 2015, when you're looking at bringing other genre into the comic book genre, because that's what Marvel brought to the forefront, and I mean proper Marvel, with the second Captain America and everything else. Like, okay, what genre can we make in a comic book movie?
Yeah, but some work because they match. Like doing that story with Captain America, a character who represents the black and white of American patriotism, and then casting him in a world of shades of gray. That's interesting.
Like Red Sonja.
Doing a horror movie with the characters that are supposed to be the stalwart, colorful characters of the Marvel Universe, the First Family, which this film makes no effort to make them seem like a family.
No, not at all.
I just don't think that works.
But you made a big jump about what I was saying. I'm not saying make an horror movie. Use these horror elements to develop your character, but don't forget in which movie you are, which they do at some point, because their Doctor Doom makes... We need a villain. Okay, he's
but
called Dr.
They do
Doom,
the
sure,
same
whatever.
Thing in the Tim Story Fantastic Four movies.
Dr. Doom
is a really vain guy, and they do that. Ben Grimm turns into the Thing and freaks everybody out. They play it a little bit more for laughs, which I have
bit?
To say, like, this... I dare you to find a time in this movie where you will laugh out loud.
Hold on.
Audibly.
But two things quick. Guardians, we're used to seeing a random band of misfits come together so well because Guardians has now made it plausible. So even though
where's the We Are group moment here?
Right, they're not a family yet. So I get maybe by movie two they try to make them.
No, there is no fucking movie two. You have one movie to do the thing that you're supposed to do with these characters.
That like you don't get that same thing. Guardians did it so well that we don't expect that now, right? But the body horror you're talking about, it's like in a way it's kind of nice to see these people that are superhuman superheroes have like panic and fear because in some way it humanizes them. After a while it gets old, but in some way otherwise they're all just gods, right? I mean,
how about the fact that this movie literally throws up in its mouth anytime it tries to make itself a comic book movie?
What do you mean?
Oh, we got Dr. Doom over here. These aren't powers. They're aggressive, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, viruses or sicknesses.
The way I hear you, though, is that you want a Marvel movie.
They literally can't say the name at the end of the movie.
But you want a Marvel movie.
I want
that's
a Fantastic Four movie. Oh, my God. Is that an unreasonable expectation?
But what's a Fantastic Four movie in your mind? The way I hear you is that it's a funny ride in space, probably with a little bit of adventure and
family interplay. I'm going to break it down. Okay.
Like a fraction.
So you have these characters. Let's say they all go to college together, okay? They're college, students, whatever. Dr. Franklin Storm is a college professor who's working on this idea. Reed Richards is one of his students. Von Doom is one of his students.
I'm not telling you to rewrite the movie.
I'm rewriting that. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay, but I know what the Fantastic Four are, but the thing is that right now, because these characters were all created in the 60s, I feel like people are expecting 60s style of adventure. Having read a bunch of Fantastic Four, one of the things that was interesting was the adventure part into monstrous world, trying to understand monsters. There was a lot of monster and stuff like that in just with Mole Man and the type of villain they have in Fantastic Four. And every time they try to bring them to any other media, the first thing they lean on is the humor. I think the good instinct was to take the humor out and make it serious. I'm not going to argue with you that this movie is well written. This movie has a fairly okay first act, and then it just jumped down into a montage, which makes no freaking sense. But I think that the reflex of trying to make this another another Ant-Man as a vibe of a family, I don't think that's the answer.
I think you could do The Social Network and have like the David Fincher version of these characters and have them be flawed and ambitious. I mean, the whole antagonism between Reed Richards and Victor Von Doom is
just about a girl, really.
Both of them let their egos control what they did, their actions.
Yes.
And what happened was Doom got scarred and Reed got superpowers.
Well, you're right.
So Von Doom always blamed Reed, and Reed always sort of blamed Von Doom or said, you know, if you'd only listened to me, this wouldn't have happened. And that's the core. Like, and you could build on that core and build such an interesting movie.
Do you have such, I don't want to say hatred, but animosity or dislike for it because you're a larger fan of the source material?
I watched this for the first time last weekend.
But that's not what I mean. Yeah. Like, just because of the source material.
No, I think in 2015 we knew that a good comic book movie is one that embraces the fact that it is a comic book movie and doesn't act disgusted by the fact that it's going to tell a story about people who have superpowers.
Right.
This movie drips with disgust for the property that it's supposedly celebrating. I find that to be a huge turnoff. I don't know about you guys. Like,
yeah, I mean, you got Ant-Man, Avengers, Age of Ultron.
I don't know. There's a lot of, like, if you ask me, Thor: The Dark World is a way worse movie than
this. Yes, I will agree that. Like this.
Okay, but Thor: The Dark World at least knows what it is. This movie is pretending not to be a movie about people that get superpowers. And the movie studio stepped in and said, what the hell are you doing? You're making a movie about people who just happen to get these abilities and are also dicks to each other.
They took way too long to set it up. I mean, clearly they did that, but...
They tried to do something different in there where they were not making an action movie, and the studio came back and said, we need an action movie. And you can see it on the screen. I am guaranteeing you that there's at least 12 to 15 more minutes with these kids.
Oh, and I would imagine there's at least 30 or 40 more kids. Minutes.
And, yeah, and footage, I don't think they come together as a team, really, in the original script before the last shot. Which is a very interesting take, which is very interesting to take a shot at it and put money in it. Was it well executed? Fuck no.
I mean, I'm totally middle of the road on this because I did kind of have fun with it. And the shot at the end you're talking about, that's such a gamble to take. People like Lobster want to see this movie where they're a team.
Avengers did the same thing. Avengers Age of Ultron ended on Steve Rogers saying, Avengers... Smash cut to credits. This movie came out, what, 3 or 4 months later, does the exact same thing. Hey, you know what would be a fantastic. Great name? You want to hear it? Yeah. But smash cut to credits.
I mean, the end, that was very forced. What are we? Well, we're the blah, blah, blah.
Green Arrow
we're
did fantastic. That like 60 years ago, too. Yeah, I mean, this is a cliche already. So, but I'm not trying to say that the movie is not cliche in the cut that we get. I really like the fact that for a minute, that's where the problem is. For a minute, the studio took a shot at something different with, I think, an adaptation that could work really well. Not in this version.
But is that the problem that we're getting from studios nowadays? They see something, they hire, like I said, with all the Star Wars flicks and all this other shit, they hire these young, talented, visionary directors, and they get something, and instantly it's not what the old folks want or whatever, and they try to change it. Would it have been
better?
Yeah,
nobody's doing that anymore.
But would it have been better if he had, if we would have seen Josh Trank's full vision? Do we think? Yes or no?
I think so.
I don't think so. I think that Josh Trank got lucky with Chronicle.
Okay.
And I credit that maybe more toward having Max Landis as the co-writer.
True.
And I think.
Do you think everybody got lucky in there though? Because then Michael B. Jordan's the only one out of there.
Yeah, maybe Dane DeHaan, whoever else that really like kind of broke out from that movie. But I think that I don't think Trank ever fully embraced the fact that he was going to make a Fantastic Four movie to the point that he told the actors not to read any of the comics. We're not doing that.
What?
And I think if they had looked at maybe what Brian Michael Bendis and Mark Millar did with Ultimate Fantastic Four and used that as a template, you could do the Fantastic Four, but do it not in the cheesy 1960s way, because that's not what it is.
Even if you were to watch the movies from the early 2000s, you still should have done. They still should have done some research on what these. That just seems like an oversight.
So My answer to this one is the studio was not clear on what they wanted, gave the director, who didn't truly want to make a Fantastic Four movie, at least not in the sense of adapting the comic book. He kind of wanted to tell his own story with characters similar to the Fantastic Four and situations. And by the time the studio realized what had gone wrong, it was too late to properly fix it. So they panicked, pulled them, brought someone else to kind of direct the reshoots and slap it all together. And at that point, they had invested too much money. They scrapped. They were going to do a 3D release. They scrapped that, put that money back into finishing the visual effects. There's a ton of stuff that you see in the trailer that never makes it into the final movie. And they said, you know what? It's an August release. It's going to be a flop. Let's just let it die.
Yeah, basically, that was made to retain the rights overall. But
well, the game that they play. We've seen that before with the Fantastic Four. So it's not a shock to me that they're continuing to make films with the minimum amount of effort. They brought in basically a comedy director to do the first two, the second and third, technically. But it's just something that they go through the motions. And I think they got lucky with what I think was actually a very good cast and pretty good results with the first two. I know they're not masterpieces,
but they're fun.
But they certainly hew a little bit closer to what the Fantastic Four should be. And this just goes so far afield. If this was a movie with characters who weren't the Fantastic Four, it might be kind of good. But on the other hand, look at The Incredibles.
Yeah.
That's the Fantastic Four, right? Those are the best Fantastic Four movies that we've ever actually gotten. And
but go back 3 minutes in that rant for a second.
Okay, sure.
Okay, sure about all that. Yeah, they use the same concept, they did better on The Incredibles. Sure. The Incredible, the only risk that this movie took in the old days was to try to make a Fantastic Four movie. This movie is one of the last one, and mark my word on this, this is one of the last one of the big comic book adaptation that we see that is not going to be formatted by a studio. This was formatted by the studio in between. Logan doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Stuff like Logan will never ever exist anymore.
No, why? You can't say that.
Everything will be standardized. Why can I say that? Logan makes $600 million worldwide. Then they do a very standardized store, which is funny and all, but it's nothing impressive. And then make a $1 billion. I love Aquaman. It doesn't deserve all the money it's making right now. This is a very, very studio-driven story. But because we never backed out these tries, we're now gonna get more and more Big Mac and less fun barbecue burger.
So where does the risk taking pay off for you here? Like I just don't see. Even again, I admit that the version that we get is butchered. It is definitely not the director's original vision, but where in there do you see it being a success?
Oh, this is not a, like I said, The only success I can see in this is that I find it very interesting that they, for a minute, before the studio decided to back off and all the bullshit started to happen, they signed off on something different. Without going too far, you were talking about New Mutant earlier. Same thing is happening right now. And it seems every time Simon Kinberg touch a X-Men Fantastic Four franchise movie, this is happening.
But see, these are the okay, you're probably right, as much as I hate to admit that because you're French, but the model, the mold at some point in time, because you're right, that's all that they're going to stamp out is ones that work, right? But there is going to be some studio exec or someone who's going to say, let's try a Red Sun, let's try something and do it just differently enough. And whether it succeeds or fails, because people whine about it, I hope it at least we get some of these things made. You know, okay, this is a little bit darker take on it, but
I see your point. But at the same time, people find Warner so courageous to have went with James Wan's vision for Aquaman. Can we all agree it's a good movie?
I haven't seen it yet, but
that's it.
I would say it does the opposite of what this movie does, which is it puts everything in there because it knows it can't guarantee a sequel.
Okay.
Agreed.
Whereas this movie holds set it up. Everything back.
Well, Thien, that's the problem from movies of this era.
That was the wrong instinct. That was the way wrong instinct, and I think that's why everybody panicked when they saw a movie where they had 2 minutes of action at the end.
But I think to Aquaman's credit, like, it puts everything in there. Like, you see everything that is happening under the sea. And you're like, what are they doing now? Fucking talking crabs? What is this shit?
Shark Taco was asking me, was like, what's the next great Aquaman story? I was like, it's all in there.
But they told them all. It's said, all though, there.
Make us a good movie first and then figure out the second one from there. Don't leave much hanging fruit that...
And if, you know, to be fair, Fox gave Josh Trank like $150 million to make this movie. If they had given him... $50 million
and said,
"Go make a Fantastic Four movie." Then that I think that would have been good, like
because his Chronicle was phenomenal on what like $100 grand.
I would not be picking it apart to this level.
That's what they learned from Deadpool. After that, that's the thing they've learned. Like, oh, just put $60 million in it and let it do its thing. Maybe you're gonna make $600 million. Maybe you're not gonna lose money.
Yeah, and I, again, like I really think if they had set the bar so much lower. I think this would have been fine. For what it's worth, Miles Teller, Michael B. Jordan, Kate Mara, Jamie Bell, that's an excellent Fantastic Four. Those are excellent people to
fill those roles.
I honestly think.
They have a great casting.
They are directed for shit.
Yes. I forget how much I love Kate Mara until I see her in something, and I'm like, I love her. Chronicle was made for $12 million.
They are directed for shit in this. So again, I don't know if Josh Trank could have gotten there. I think somebody else could have come in and done this. Even if you had like...
Did they give him this just because of Chronicle?
They did, yeah.
No, actually, he signed this before Chronicle was released. He was just the talking
Chronicle had the buzz.
Point.
They had, they knew that Chronicle was going to do well. It was similar stuff.
Right.
People get
powers.
Super, you know, ordinary people get superpowers.
Yeah, but Chronicle basically, is Akira for everything other than the name, to be honest.
Yeah, but basically, he got two major big budget movie contract out of an indie movie, which you should not do. And as we said earlier, the big studios understood that. They remade two Star Wars from scratch. They're never going to do that
again. What were the Avengers movies? Didn't they do like two or three of them? They had like, not Avengers per se, but Marvel movies. Weren't there one or two Marvel movies started? Ant-Man was one by Edgar Wright. There were a couple other ones that they brought in fun new directors and then went, ooh, this is a little bit too
weird. Patty Jenkins. She went directing Thor the Dark World to directing Wonder Woman.
She did
Wonder
direct
Woman.
Thor the Dark World?
No, she left for creative differences.
I could see that. Thor the Dark World sucked.
When you see the movie, you're like, I don't want that on my resume. I'm going to wait. You know, it's...
They got Alan Taylor from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they got Game of Thrones guys, which was the wrong instinct, weirdly enough. And
it's Taika Waititi that can deliver the better Thor movie.
Once they got away from the actual, like, Quoty Fingers actual mythology of Thor and started having fun with this guy that's not a god, but a god, it was better.
Yeah, if you want me to deconstruct the Marvel Universe for you right now, is that usually you get a director... Okay, you have a director that gives the tone for a particular phase. So Favreau gives you the tone for the first phase, and it all sounds, feels all mostly the same. Then the phase two is very disjointed. Every movie that they have, like their Age of Ultron, they're just trying to find their footing in everything.
Was Guardians in two?
Guardians was the end of two. Okay, and by the end of two, of phase two, they were like, oh, do more of that.
Yes. Do James Gunn,
but
have the Russos direct it.
Exactly.
And then fire James Gunn.
So now we're going to have that for a little time, and at some point they're going to hire another director to do one of these small ones, and they're going to do, okay, this. And then it's going to be that same kind of publicity. Can we agree that Avengers Infinity Wars poster was basically a poster for Guardian?
Yes, and
I mean it is the thing that they did.
Can we also admit that James Gunn's new flick, which looks phenomenal, Brightburn, is basically Red Sun and everything except name?
Right. Yes.
Well, it's not directed by James Gunn, but it is produced by him.
Right. So I mean, it's got some of his vision.
Yes, it's a Chronicle. I mean, it's doing the thing, but not doing exactly the thing.
Right. He's got a cape and lasers.
If this movie was, you know, the Awesome Five, I would be totally fine with it. But it's Fantastic Four, and that just sucks. Like, it just...
Yeah, I
not,
think,
not
I think,
to bring us back too close. I know this has been really enlightening. But
I think you and me have different vision of Fantastic Four, because I discovered the Fantastic Four after most of my comic. I got into the part where they didn't have the Baxter building anymore. They were living in an apartment. I was introduced to these characters in a more gritty end of the 90s, start of the 2000 ways. So I see the instinct to go very dark with these characters. But on the other end, Fantastic Four never worked. It's the book that's been canceled the most often in the last 50 years. So,
well, everything since probably before this, but in recent memory, everything since 2004, 5, 6 is BSG, which ended in 2008. Everything has gone, let's go more real and gritty. Even if it's sci-fi, even if it's human drama, let's make it terrifying and real, whether it's a comic book movie.
BSG and Nolan, yes.
Batman Begins and Dark Knight, whatever. Like, all that was a different take, and for better or for worse, that's the landscape we have now.
Yep.
If this movie had actually done something gritty, I would say, okay, like, I see that you're going for the gritty reboot, and, you know, you wanted to do the thing. You basically have a pretty straightforward rendition of an origin story for the Fantastic Four. You don't do any of the character development to actually You don't actually do any of the character development. I wish I was adopted to make them, you know, seem like friends at all, or let alone a family.
Well, they met each other at a science fair, and that's it.
You also co-create a villain who has a vaguely defined power set and even less defined motivations, and then
you change his name in ADR, because why not?
And you also do the thing that a lot of movies do, and it always sucks. You create a giant portal in the sky, which is going to throw a beam of light at the Earth, and then you have a fight on an alien planet, which no one sees. And then the Fantastic Four are anonymous heroes that no one knows. When really the thing about the Fantastic Four is, not only are they, you know, world recognized superheroes, but they don't have secret identities. Everyone knows that Mr. Fantastic is Reed Richards and Ben Grimm is the Thing, and Johnny's, you know, they're not secret. They're out and proud in the world, and a beacon of hope and light to mankind. Like,
but
this,
you know, the original
totally fails.
You know the original ending of this. If we add the money to put another half hour
ending, the lab would have stayed in New York City instead of moving to the mountains, and then everyone would have seen the final battle rather than happening in the mountains.
Basically, well, Man of Steel's ending in New York.
Yeah, what we've heard and what we've seen a little bit is that the giant hole that just threw garbage on the other planet would get, like, reverse all of a sudden, and you get Mole Man in New York with that huge battle.
So it's basically the end of Avengers when the Underminer shows up.
The ends of the Incredible and the start.
That's
of
what
Incredible
I meant. That's
too.
What I meant.
Yes.
Underminer.
So that would have been your big visual battle in the city and all that jazz. But the studio was like, we don't have money for this. We're cutting this at 50 minutes. We're doing reshoots to make this a movie release.
So what was that thing at the end that was drawing all the dirt from Earth out to the other planet? It looked very Superman, Man of Steel, like, here's your dust. How is that making him stronger?
Is it a black hole at some point?
Somewhere in Doom's character development, he's like an eco-warrior.
Okay.
And he thinks that we're destroying the planet, so he wants to destroy our planet and make his own. Yeah.
Okay.
Very, very poorly defined.
Convoluted.
They did ADR in his name. His name is supposedly Victor Domashev instead of Von Doom.
What's Domashev?
Well, he wasn't even actually going to be called Von Doom. Because they were like, no, that's too on the nose.
Oh, like, so it's like Live, Die, Repeat, kind of.
Yep.
Or Khan. Yeah. Or Khan!
No, it was just like, because you know someone that's called Doom? You know, if you were called Beef Doom, clearly you're not someone nice.
You're going to turn out to be a hero,
well, right?
Because your last name is...
It's whatever, Von Doom, and then they're like, okay, Dr. Doom, and I'm like, oh,
like if your name was, let's say, Killmonger...
Right, if it was Captain Genocide, I probably wouldn't be a good dude.
Have you caught the Ghostbuster reference? there's only Doom.
There is no Victor, only Doom.
I was like,
no.
Oh my god.
It was only Zool. Oh my god.
Yeah, I was like, don't rip off a better movie, dude. You don't want to make me think of a better movie at this point in your movie. You don't.
I was listening to another podcast.
Don't
it's called
do
No
that.
Time. I know. I do that sometimes when I have to
What's it
to
called?
Like it's called No Time for Heroics. And they did an episode on this movie, and I had to listen to it to see like if other people felt the same way that I did about this film. And they said the scene where Doom sticks his hand into the goo would have been so great if they panned left and you saw somebody with like the thing hugging their face, like the face hugger in Aliens.
Oh,
just
yeah,
like if you're on an alien planet, rule number one, don't touch the goo.
Don't touch shit.
Well, and just... we're gonna stab the skewer flag, yes, whatever, into the ground, and
gonna
then
plant the flag
when yep. it starts splitting, we're gonna just stand there and either run
and
towards
everybody
it.
Picked on First Man for not showing it, but see what happens. You stick your flag in something,
right? I mean, that's really what happened in Apollo. We just didn't want to tell everybody. Jeez,
don't stick your flag in shit you're not supposed to stick it in, okay,
where it doesn't belong. You get the goo on you. Beef, you gotta bail us out.
All right, last notes for this pig, anybody?
It won 4 Razzies, I think.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Well, again, the best thing this movie has, I think, is the cast and the Michael B. Jordan performance in the 11 minutes of screen time he has.
Would he have gotten Creed or Killmonger without this? Creed
yes.
was after
yes.
this, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he would have. He would have gotten both.
I was surprised that he got Killmonger because of that, but...
Also...
Spoiler,
this
Killmonger
was,
might be back for
This
Black
was
Panther
another
too.
Example of toxic fandom, because when he was cast as Johnny Storm, people became super racist and said that the Human Torch can't be black.
Oh, goodness.
So, not only was this movie not worth that outrage, it also was completely... stupid outrage. Like, don't be racist. He was a great Human Torch. Chris, don't forget Chris Evans.
He was easily as good as Chris Evans.
Easily
Human
as
Torch.
Good for sure.
I mean, yeah. there's.
I thought it was weird. So I don't know if you noticed in the movie, Miles Teller, the actor, has some scars on his face that he got in a car accident when he was a teenager. But they put makeup on the little kid version of him that had the scars. Did you
okay,
notice that?
To make it work, I did
I guess
not.
To make it work, yep. I thought that was a weird choice. There are scenes in the film where you can tell they've reversed the print and his scars are on the other side of his face.
What?
Kate Mara's hair changes constantly throughout the movie.
Oh, yeah. It
goes from
you
natural hair to a wig and back to all varying degrees of things.
You can figure out the reshoot just with her hair. It's amazing.
Why wouldn't they do that right?
And the actor...
Because they didn't care at that point. You don't throw money at a pile of garbage. You just throw enough in it so that you can put it at a corner of the street.
And the actor who played Franklin Storm, Reggie Cathy, who was on House of Cards and a whole bunch of other stuff, unfortunately passed away. And I am ashamed that this movie is part of his legacy.
To be an asshole. The black dude that was the dad?
Yes.
I really like him.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, he wasn't House of Cards. He was the rib guy.
Yes, he was. He was
so
Freddy.
So they really did.
They ripped off 2 actors from House of Cards. But so did Ant-Man. Like, Ant-Man got, what's his name, was from House of Cards. And a bunch of them were grabbing people. Wonder Woman grabbed somebody. Like, the only one you can't use now is Kevin Spacey. Can't do it.
Right.
Yeah, and then there's the guy that's always trying to be a villain in the next movie, but never is one.
Yes.
Who's that?
Tim Blake,
the
Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the Master and Hulk, and that's the only Marvel proper movie that Marvel would like to forget. And now he was supposed to be the Mole Man, and he was done
right.
before
if you don't,
the movie
if we don't rate
out.
This movie, I'm going to jump out of the
Wing
this pot.
For yeah, Fant go. Four Stick. Are you going Legendary?
Marvelous Mess.
Legend of its time.
Reboot of Doom.
Cult legend.
Trank Yank.
Awesome.
Stretching it.
Entertaining.
Lame on.
Mayable.
The thing no one asked for.
Forgettable.
Fant Four Stink.
Abysmal.
Grade FF minus.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Fantastic Four, the unreleased 1994 version.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of don't touch the goo.
Yeah, for crying out loud. Why'd you do that? Well, I basically showed my hand pretty early this. I'm giving it a forgettable.
Fan-four-stick.
This movie is not as bad as people make
it's
it
fucking
to be.
Worse.
It's not good. It's not good. Don't get me wrong. We're still in a toilet bowl. But if you ask me, do you want to rewatch this or any other movie we watched this month? I'm rewatching any movie we watched this month.
What? Catwoman or what's the name?
I'm having more fun with Catwoman and Green Lantern than I have with this. But I like, and I can't believe I was the one defending this fucking movie. By the way, now that we're at the rating part, I just can't believe I was the most positive on this fucking movie. But I would not trust Simon Kingbird with my car. I would certainly not trust him with a Fox X-Men Fantastic Four movie ever, ever again. And I just can't wait to see his Dark Phoenix because it's his directorial debut. But it's interesting to see where it goes. Should you? Probably not. But seeing a lot of comic book movies, some part of this I thought I was saw in Super, some part of this I thought I saw in another Fantastic Four movie. So just mix and match with the rest as some other movie you just remember how bad they were. So yeah, I'm giving this a forgettable. Again, I think Thor 2 is worse. So Fan 4 stink beef.
I got to go up a touch and go the thing no one asked for and go Mabel. I had no expectations and no hope for this, and I think that's why I don't want to say I enjoyed it, but I didn't hate it. Some parts I liked, some parts were not fun, but all in all, it was something that I'd probably go, this was the second best out of all four of Canuary, right behind, whatever, Watchmen. So, yeah, I got to go Mabel, and I won't be watching it again unless I'm paid to. Lobster.
Okay, so I have to give this the grade of FF minus. It is abysmal in quality. I think I've made my case very clearly, but I think if you're someone who's debating hiring Josh Trank for your film franchise that you want to have him have a hand in. Okay, not another indie film or
any
you know,
film
low budget.
Franchise.
Yeah, let's say I don't know Star Wars. Okay, even if you're not really going to make that Boba Fett movie, which now we know they're not going to do, you know, and you're interviewing new directors, and you say, so how's your Fantastic Four movie going? It's not a Fantastic Four movie. I don't even read the comic books. We're not going to do that. I think the earmarks of him being a terrible director are all over this film, and you're seeing it through the cracks of the band-aids that the studio tried to put on it. I think at its core, there was nothing they could use to truly redeem this movie that they had to work with. So they had to go back and reshoot a ton and basically cobble together a television pilot for a Fantastic Four TV show, which somehow ended up with a budget of $155 million. So basically, for $155 million, you're getting a glorified TV pilot for, I don't know, what? Like, the Fantastic Four show. Because that's where it is. It's literally maybe 45 minutes of actual story that you could have broken it down to and then use that to be the first episode of your TV show. Because that's where it leaves you. Like, literally, it leaves you with, okay, next week on Fantastic Four, here we are.
Okay, Lobster, Sophie's choice. You watch this again or the Inhuman movie pilot thingy?
Oh, the one that they also released in theaters?
Yep.
With this the is bad the worst, hair.
I think that's the worst thing Marvel released in the last 15 years.
But that knew it was a TV pilot. And that was, okay. So
Even there.
That was originally supposed to be a movie, too.
Yep.
And I think that's That's a real.
Did they cut it and make it two episodes?
No, they
decided to
produced
go TV
it into
when Vin Diesel told them the script.
They actually
was
produced it into a TV show, and I would say if you want a great refutation of that, the actor who played Black Bolt is now Captain Pike on Star Trek Discovery and is phenomenal. So even with that,
he's so good.
Even with that cast, they could have done something awesome, and Lockjaw still looked pretty cool. Fantastic Four. I'm done talking about it.
All right, I got one last thing. Not about this, but everything. I wish I had enough money to drop and lose a shit ton of coin just to potentially retain the rights to drop and lose a shit ton more coin.
So
like,
who?
What the fuck?
Like who do you think?
You should have used this for $40 million and put it on a shelf.
You should have.
Would this have been a Netflix movie?
Yeah, you should have done this as a 10-episode Netflix show.
They don't have the right for that. They only have the right to make a movie.
Well, now do it as a 10-episode Disney Plus show.
At that point, I say, again, 35, 40 million, you make a movie, you shelf it.
Okay, last fucking word on Fant 4 Stick.
Flush.
Next.
Thank God January's over.
Beef, what time is it?
News time. Jesus.
All right. So,
I believe we fought over Fantastic Four.
Speaking of comic
for like
book
an
movies,
hour.
Yeah, this is our best episode ever. Glass does not crack past 53.2 drop in the second weekend. Stay steady.
Have any
Green
of us
book,
seen it yet?
Green Book got the Oscar bump after its nomination. Jumped from number 14 to number 6. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Does it have the momentum to get Best Picture?
Probably didn't. Yeah.
But will it?
It has a lot of momentum. It has a lot of momentum in Hollywood right now. I think there's a big chance that it's actually.
Have any of us seen Glass or Green Book?
No.
I've seen Glass. It's interesting.
It's fan. Is it fantastic?
No.
Fantastic Three.
I would say the best one in this series is probably Split.
That's fine.
But if you like Split, you want to see the 2/3 of this movie. It's just the last
the part
closure
of the, story.
Of the trilogy. That I would say that is left me a bit. Eh. If you're closing,
it's probably still Unbreakable is the one you want to watch.
No, I would say Split. I think Split is the number one of that trilogy. But Split, Unbreakable, Glass. Would be the order.
Oof. Okay.
The Kid Who Would Be King and Serenity opened to disappointing numbers.
Isn't that like 10 years ago for Serenity?
Yeah, pretty much. This is a Matthew McConaughey Anne Hathaway movie.
I saw the poster in the subway today and I was like, oh, that's not the Serenity I know.
No, it isn't. You can't take the sky from me.
Hell no.
Okay. Hulu is dropping prices. We reported last week that Netflix is raising them. Hulu sees you raising the price of your basic subscription and says, we will drop the price of ours to $5.99 per month. So you don't get all the content. You still have to watch commercials, but it's...
This is the one that's like a week later, but still.
Correct. Yeah, you don't get...
$6.
Yep. For $6, you got streaming, man.
Since I don't have that option, I keep going on Netflix.
They did kind of sneak this under the radar because they are not only dropping their prices for this one, they're raising the other no commercial Prime one by like $1 a month.
Huh.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I still don't have Hulu, but this might be a reason for me to buy it.
James Gandolfini's son will play little kid Tony Soprano in the Sopranos prequel movie. I thought that was cool. We were reporting on that. Nicolas Cage is teaming with his Mandy producers and director Richard Stanley on an adaptation of H.P. Lovecraft's The Color Out of Space.
Is this what he's going to do now is just really trippy shit? Because I'm okay with it.
Me too. Yeah, I'm all for it.
I was talking with some people that have an ear to the ground, I would say, and that Mandy shit, people react either the way I reacted, being like, wow, that was awesome. I just lost my time. And other people are like, this is genius. It's back to the 70s style of movie making. And I was like, Okay.
I'm in the latter camp. I got to say, I liked it.
Yeah, you and me are two good examples. So they're going to ride that for a little while, I think, together. So good for him.
Kevin Smith's Jay and Silent Bob reboot is firing up with Saban Films at Sundance.
This is basically a sequel to their Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Strike Back.
Yeah, Strike Back a few years ago when they go to Hollywood. Now they go to Hollywood finding out that they're trying to make a reboot and blah, blah, blah. So,
and they need to stop the reboot from happening, so they need to go from Jersey to Hollywood. So it's a reboot? Knowing it's a reboot.
Yes. It's a reboot, sequel, slash, continue. Yes. Yeah, I'll check
slash
it out.
Slash sequel to Clerks 2. You know, it's very fucked up.
Jason Reitman's Ghostbusters sequel set a release date for July 2020.
I'm still kind of, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, let them actually make the movie, so.
That's the last shot they got at this, so.
The last one was fun, and I'm kind of sad that they're just cutting all the chicks out.
This one's going to work, then they're going to do a fifth one where both universes would collide. It's going
to
be great.
I'm telling you, man, Ghost Core. That's what they have to do.
And then it's all going to be about family, you know?
Like fantastic, like four fantastic people living
Fast
in a building
and Furious 4.
In New York City.
No, I was thinking about like more like a family of furious people going very, very fast.
Very good.
I said that.
CW is ordering a Lost Boys TV series to pilot.
It's got to be pretty brutal or
yes.
not good.
If anyone could do it, it's the CW because I feel like the Lost Boys was trying to be a CW type show. And let's do it. Also, we are getting another Riverdale spinoff. Megan Tandy, Cameras Johnson, and Nicole Kang are going to co-star in this Batwoman pilot. So those are all things that the CW has in development. What do you guys think? What's going to get canceled off of our current slate? Are we going to see the end of Arrow to make room for this stuff, or...
I think they're going to try one last season of Arrow next year, and I think they're going to change stars.
Would they still bring him in occasionally?
No, I think they're going to spin him for the rest of the season in The Flash based on what happened in the episode this week, which I don't really want to spoil, but there's...
Don't say
there's
it, but
a reference.
There's a thing. Detective Pikachu sequel in the works with the 21...
This means
the
nothing
22 Jump
because...
Street, because it hasn't come out yet?
Yeah, and this is like...
do you remember the sequel to Fantastic Four that was greenlit
that was
2 weeks before it came
out? The movie came out, yes.
Do you remember the two extra movies to the Jumper trilogy we were going to get?
Oh, yeah, you got a cartoon online for the second
that's
one,
it,
I think.
Maybe.
Yeah?
I think the thing here is they know that there's a universe that they can play in, and if they can enter it with this, then Detective Pikachu... could be the Man of Steel, and the next the Man of Steel sequel is Batman v Superman, which is not really a Detective Pikachu movie, but it's a thing.
Branches
but
to the bigger world, but yes. Make a good fucking movie, and then if it's good, tell us you're going to make a second one. Don't build hype for something, because then when it's shit, we're all going to be that much more disappointed.
But that's what happened here, and they didn't announce it. That's a report that came from a reporter. The studio did not announce it, but the word is that Warner is going nuts about that Detective Pikachu thing, and they're so sure it's
going
to go wide.
They're going
Pika
for Pikachu.
It's Deadpool in a tiny body.
Exactly. It cost them nothing to start the pre-production and hire writers.
It's Deadpool that sells toys.
Here you go. It's even better.
Oh, my God. It's Once Upon a Deadpool without any of the shit.
And he's a video game.
Yes.
And he's a marketing tool.
Oh, you're
and he's
right.
Everything that you want.
And all of us
want.
Old bastards that like Deadpool are going to take our nieces and nephews. Yep.
All right. Last but not least. Now, we're recording a day late. There was some other news that happened. I'm going to save it for next week because I'm going to pretend like I don't know things that I know. Jeff Bridges has teased his return as the dude, the Big Lebowski, during the Super Bowl. Do we think this is a Crocodile Dundee 3?
Yeah, it's this year, Crocodile Dundee. What was the one before? It was Ferris Bueller.
Yep.
They did.
No, but
they
see,
do
this
one
is,
every couple of years.
This isn't... I hope you're so wrong. But there's not... It doesn't look like... there's not Australian vistas, or unless he's pimping sunglasses or fuzzy old man sweaters.
He's going to pimp beer or some shit like that.
You know, if he goes to the bar and orders something that isn't a white Russian, I mean, fuck.
I got so excited.
It's a Guinness. It's a Guinness publicity, so we can make his white Russian.
I just got it, and it's the fucking date of the Super Bowl. I didn't even put that together till right now. Yep. I want another Big Lebowski.
That's never gonna happen. The Coens said it. They say it twice a year. No, we don't. The guys that was playing Jesus wanted to write his own movie, and they were like, "Yeah, go. We don't give a fuck. We're not doing it." So,
yep.
Fuck.
So there you go.
We need to do that. We need to add that for this year.
The Lebowski?
Yeah, I haven't seen it in probably 10 years.
I would abide.
No, probably 8, I would say.
I would abide by that.
All right, I'm adding it to the list. Fuck it.
Okay. Trailer dump. So I want you to take these two back to back, okay? So we have The Boys on Amazon Prime.
It feels very...
nice.
Watchmen.
It's too nice.
It feels very Watchmen. And then we have Umbrella Academy on Netflix.
So we basically have The Runaways, which is Umbrella Academy, and The Boys, that's trying to be Watchmen, but that doesn't seem to be The Boys whatsoever.
You always said The Boys was very brutal. Does this look like it has any potential to be as
brutal?
Didn't
it have a guy like getting his teeth knocked out in the trailer? Like, wasn't there some extremely violent stuff that happened?
Yeah,
but I don't think you can do The Boys anymore.
Said there's like rape and everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of commentary on that. So I don't think you can put that on TV anymore, like at all.
But it's like HBO, so right?
Yeah, but the type of content that The Boys have. Okay, let's go there. You've seen their like Justice League in that trailer.
Right,
they have their little Wonder Woman thing.
The Seven or whatever.
Yeah, they have a little Wonder Woman, a girl in white. Basically, on her first day when she's 18, they basically circle jerk her if she wants the position. That's in the first 15 page. Before the main character actually raped the Secretary of Defense.
Wow.
So I have a feeling Amazon's not going to do a true-to-page adaptation of The Boys,
but
is there something good in there they can do? I mean, they have Simon Pegg, Carl Urban, like...
The thing is that it's so much criticizing on a very harsh way what the comic industry and society is now that they're going to either... have something magical and we're gonna have a good season and then it's gonna be weird, or it's gonna just go down the drain and it's gonna sound Disneyfied even in its kind of violence. Preacher did it, so
you don't think they'll try? I mean, it's Amazon. It's like,
yeah, but Preacher is fantastic. These things are fantastic. The thing about The Boys is that it could be New York right now, and all the bullshit I told you that happened, if this was the world, could be the world. Like, all the superheroes of the world get into a spaceship to save us from whatever, but in fact, they're going on an island to rape the native for a month. You know, that's the kind of thing they
see,
do.
All right, you're painting a pretty picture, but I feel like we could...
You could do that story with superheroes being assholes, and... I mean, you did it in Watchmen, right? What's-his-face raped what's-her-face, or tried to, and then turned around and finished the job. Like, you could do it without doing the let's go rape the native storyline and still show you that people are dicks. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know.
Like I said, they're going to either strike genius, or it's going to either be just sound Disney-fied.
Do you think Umbrella Academy has the edge because...
Yes, because of the source material. Okay. I was looking at this and I was like, okay, the little bit I know about the source material and the visual I'm seeing there seems to be pretty accurate. So
I'll check this out. But again, it's like we got a young Brandon Stark, and everybody sees the future in everything nowadays, and we always have to avert their visions. Right?
That's a burden. It's a burden. That sounds like tight. Somebody's got to do it.
Right.
Well, if you're watching Titan right now, that's maybe kind of the same thing.
Let me say that you had a vision of the future, okay? And you saw Alec Baldwin and Salma Hayek as two drunk parents who have just dropped their daughter off at college and are also bankrupt, so they lose their house and their car. And Jim Gaffigan,
they're like scam artists, right?
And Jim Gaffigan is a sex offender. And imagine that you wanted to see this movie. Oh, wait, you already watched the trailer and decided that it looks terrible.
I was in for like the first 30 seconds, and then it kept getting weirder and weirder. And I'm like, there's no, what, they're renting a house, and oh, he's a sex offender. What?
Yes. Okay. Imagine that you loved the movie Spring Breakers so much that you wanted to watch a movie with Matthew McConaughey and Snoop Dogg called The Beach Bum.
It's funny that I just say that because that's what I thought right away. So, nope, pass.
Full disclosure, kind of a stoner, so I'll try it.
But are you also an author? Because this movie is for stoner authors, not for stoner whatever else.
Podcasters.
Yes, sure.
I will, if this is on Amazon, or sorry, when it's on Amazon or Netflix, I'll check it out. But I'm not paying for this. You got Zac Efron. You got all these random people. And it's basically just an excuse for Matthew McConaughey to film a movie in the sun in his thong, smoke weed and play bongo drums.
Okay. Yeah. Really. That seems like his vibe, right?
Right.
All right. All right. Imagine that you had a boner for Ted Bundy.
This looks awesome.
It's a terrible trailer.
Yep, the trailer is terrible, but it looks interesting as a movie.
I just started watching a documentary on
the one on Netflix. Yeah.
It's like four episodes about Ted Bundy. Really good. And I watched his trailer, and about 30 seconds in, I was like, holy shit, this is the Ted Bundy thing. Because, you know, he's suave, and he's getting ladies, and I'll check this out for sure.
And eating them. So,
well, you know, I mean, you got to snack every once in a while.
So there you go. So that's Trailer Dump for the week. We're going to get some more trailers very soon because the Super Bowl is happening. What do you guys think that we're going to see? Are we going to get the Star Wars?
Nope.
Are we going to get something for Avengers Endgame that's going to tip the hand of what's going to happen?
We're going to get more of the first 20 minutes, but that's it.
This is like the teaser trailer for so-and-so will drop in 3 days. This is like trailers for trailers.
Yes, it is, yeah.
We're going to either see something or we're not. This articles on speculation kind of chaps my ass because we're just wasting time with that.
Well, okay. So we're going to watch the big game and come back next week. Hopefully.
I'll watch the trailers, no big game.
So you're going to skip the whole thing and just get up the next morning and watch the trailers.
Yep, I did that a few years ago.
That actually seems reasonable, to be honest with you. Like,
well, with this Super Bowl, I have no stake in it.
No,
it's again the Patriots,
fight,
right, and the Rams, and don't care about either. If it's a good football game, great, but I'm more in tune with the Doritos commercials and the trailers.
There you go.
Doritos.
Okay. Random shit. Let's go back to the Super Bowl just for a second. So we know that last year Netflix surprised the hell out of us with Cloverfield Paradox as their, hey, you just watched the big game, now watch this movie. Do you think they're going to drop something random to surprise us, or was that a one and done?
You need to have a movie studio dropping some crap on your lap to be able to do that. So actually, I'm
mutants.
In suspense.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
No, New Mutants has not done re-editing, so nope.
No, they could release it anyway. Fantastic Four wasn't done re-editing. Who cares?
Oh, dear God, you're right.
I'd be intrigued and happy if they did this every year, but, I mean, one or two times in a row does not make a trend. So
I think they should do it every year and just drop something random that no one's going to expect. All they have to do is cut a really good trailer, and people will just go and watch it anyway, like, I don't know, Bird Box.
Or if your team's getting blown out, you know, 19-0 at half.
It's already live.
You might
just go watch it. Yep.
Yeah.
Or the game went into overtime. Okay, just go watch it. Who cares?
Yeah, Bird Box is a big problem here in Montreal. Well, not in Montreal, in Quebec, because they use real footage of a town burning after the explosion of a train. And that 42% people died in that explosion, and that's what you watch in your Bird Box.
Those people got to be in a movie.
See,
great. My government doesn't think like that.
I'm kind of on the fence and in the middle of both of you. Like,
it's not these like, people. Hey, it's like the song says, we didn't start the fire. It was burning.
Like, I feel bad for these people and their families that they watch, not these people clearly, but their families, they watch a Netflix movie and it reminds them of this tragedy. Uh-huh. But
or they could put like a blindfold on and not see it.
You already bought stock footage to put there. Buy other stock footage right. And replace this.
Maybe it was mislabeled on a website. I'm sure it was.
What if they didn't do that? What if they took the scene from? No, they
Fantastic
just want them to replace the scene
where they blow a hole in the planet and just use that instead.
They used some of that footage too in a TV show, and the TV show was like, fuck it, we're replacing everything. So that's why everybody's like, what?
I hear you.
They're both produced by Netflix.
It's so. Like the, what you call it, that they want $25 million for using the satanic temple thing. Come on.
Oh, dear goddess. Yeah, that's different.
What the devil?
All right. Fuck this cast.
We're done with January. January's over, you mothers.
I can't believe I was defending fucking Fantastic Four.
God
damn it.
You tried.
Lobster.
There's apparently four turds in this bowl that we gotta flush.
Oh, I hope you brought your plunger, because they are not going down easy.
Next time, Legends Podcast, we return with our regularly scheduled programming with Boondock Saints, Legends of 99.
So we're gonna do something fun, which is, throughout the year, we're going to check in with films that came out 20 years ago in what, in my opinion, was a particularly good year in filmmaking, 1999.
Definitely wasn't bad. There's a lot to choose from that are at least fun and entertaining.
We'll need to do 1983 at some point, which is supposedly the greatest year of movie ever.
It's the year I was born. How could it be anything but Return of the Jedi?
Oh, God. This has been episode 408 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, woohoo, Boondock Saints.
I'm John D saying, hey, I haven't watched that in a while, since the last time we talked about it.
And I'm John the Lobster saying, if it's got William Dafoe in it, can't be bad.
Especially if he's cross-dressing.
Willem Dafoe.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.